from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Kennedy, 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 so we bada.
On 670 The Score.
And there is Gary Cole tolling the slab at Camden Yards here tonight.
Looks like you're nobody. And down goes Frazier, two away.
Leads the league in strikeouts with 189. If he strikes out 10 guys tonight, that'll be four straight starts with 10 or more strikeouts. No pitcher in the history of the Braves franchise has ever done that. And they go back to 1876.
He knew it right away. That is the 10th strikeout of the game.
Full count pitch.
Got him swinging! 8 for Ohtani this afternoon.
When all else fails, back to the pitch that's been best for him today. A good old country fastball.
Corbin Burnes makes the start, Rock.
He's been unbelievable.
Swing and a miss. Breaking ball down low and away. He picks up his second strikeout tonight. Number 127 on the year for Burnes.
Dave McClanahan, who opened last year's season on the mound. Same thing this year.
Yeah.
And then the cut and miss and a big strikeout. The brand new year.
Those five pitchers that you heard highlighted right there are the top five starters on the starting pitcher rankings for the final third of the season from our next guest, Eno Saris, who joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Eno from The Athletic, love talking to you. Welcome in, sir. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Of course. First of all, I love that you asked the producer, because you're on the West Coast, you said, you asked Sean Sears, I just woke up, did anything happen? Which is, that is the magic of this moment. I said at the top of the hour, we'll see if anything happens between now and when we talk to Eno, or now and the end of my show, which is in about an hour and 45 minutes. So, we are expecting more, and it could be at any moment. The deadline is killing it this year. It feels like it's been great fun and intrigue around baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought at the beginning that it might be not great. I mean, the Noah Syndergaard for Ahmed Rosario trade was the headliner at one point. we expanded the playoffs. So I thought, you know, there are not very many obvious sellers. And even when the Angels bought, with getting Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez, I thought, well, here's a team that could have been a seller. I mean, they had a 10%, 15% chance of making the playoffs. If they're buying, then we're going to have four sellers in all of baseball. And they're going to be bad teams that nobody wants players off of. I mean, yes, the Royals, the A's, you know, those guys are selling, but what do you want? And so I thought it might be a bad deadline, but I think the Mets just changed things pretty hardcore by trading Max Scherzer because they've got a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of silly that the White Sox are over here saying they want to be competitive next year, so they're not going to trade Dylan Cease. That's what I'm hearing about the White Sox, and the Mets are like, you know what? It's fine. You get Max Scherzer for a year and a half, and we get better players back. So the Mets seem to be making a real sale, which means anybody on the Mets other than maybe Lindor is up for grabs.
Yeah, the Mets ate $35 million to get Ronald Acuna's little brother back for Max Scherzer. And that is that's like just the straight ahead style of like an NBA trade of eating money that I knew that we've had little hints of it, but now we see it. It's one way to buy a farm system, which is a fascinating thing here. They've made a few other deals, right? They've made a few other deals in that regard that end up equating to buying a farm system. So
another thing that's interesting about what they're buying is they don't seem to be concerned with a timeline, quote unquote. You know, the players that they got from Miami. When was the other trade? The trade David Robertson to Miami.
Robertson, yeah.
The players they got in that trade are like 17 years old and in low A. So, you know, they're just like, hey, we're buying ceiling. We're not going to worry about timeline. We're not going to worry about proximity to the big leagues. And I think that's smart because we're also seeing around the game, sometimes you will just push a prospect. If a prospect is doing well, why not get him to the big leagues by 19 or 20?
But as you're talking about it, Eno, and knowing that it's Steve Cohen, who loves it and wants to be involved, he literally seems to be thinking about prospects as currency, which of course they are, you know?
And he's willing to use, like you mentioned, he's willing to use payroll, which is not really of his concern.
Right.
And a bit of a sunk cost. He's willing to use that to improve the farm system.
Absolutely.
So I think Justin Verlander's going. I mean, you just read the tea leaves. If Max Scherzer's gone, then why not Justin Verlander? So if Justin Verlander's going, you know, like anybody could go.
Yeah, and the currency of those prospects, as long as he grabs high ceilings, those ceilings will stay high and it'll still be a valuable item on the spreadsheet in a year if he needs to use it for something else.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. He's kind of upending the whole thing. All right, you mentioned the White Sox not willing to trade Dylan Cease, which we, of course, have heard as well. We've heard that they're not willing to trade Cease and Robert. And we'll see about Eloy, and they might keep Tim Anderson, who's got a manageable option at like $15 million next year. And all of a sudden, you look around, and the team of position players is kind of going to be the team. Like hey, look at that! They've got Benintendi Benintendi and Jimenez and Robert and Berger and Moncada, who they have to keep, and Vaughn. It's like there'll be a new catcher and a new pitching staff. They don't want to strip it all the way down because it didn't work. So I guess the question is, if they keep all of this and they try to spend thoughtfully in the offseason, could they be competitive? It's sort of the way they've looked at it, other than the 6 years of this rebuild, frankly.
I would say a theoretical team in that division could become competitive pretty quickly. I don't know that I'm saying that the White Sox, who have not managed to do it when they had better teams, frankly, talent-wise on paper, there's something missing in that organization, and I can't really put my finger on it. I tend to blame player development. But, you know, Vaughn came through that system, and he's pretty good. And, you know, it's not completely on player development. Maybe the pitching side of player development needs some improvement because you really should be turning out some arms on your own as opposed to sort of going and getting them all the time. Yeah. But there's something there that it makes me skeptical. And on the market, yes, they did actually pretty good in the Giolito deal. By packaging two rentals, they got a catcher that's in Double-A, has really good strikeout and walk rates. But the question is he really a catcher? And, you know, they may still have to wait a while for him because catchers take a while to put that finishing touch on. Any case, normally when you have to trade Dylan Cease to get real prospects, you know, to get a young major leaguer or to get a bevy of really top end prospects, because those years of team control, that's what teams covet.
Eno Saris from The Athletic is our guest here on The Score. All right. So with the Cubs making this incredible push here at the final moment, having won 8 in a row, and they're 2 games over 500, they're 3.5 out of first place. I think they will buy, and that should be fun. Maybe they'll buy a lefty reliever, which they desperately need. Maybe they'll buy a power bat who can play the corners if there's one available. Do you agree that that's what they're going to do on the fringes? And will they also keep Cody Bellinger? I think they will.
It is funny. I think my colleague Britt Zeroli made the argument that the trade deadline should be later, with more teams in it, and they don't have the waiver process they used to. There's a lot of things that are kind of different now, and teams right now, it's like, what have we done in the last three games as part of the factor of, are we going to go for it or not? And they seem to be trending well, and so I do think they might buy. And the other factor is that that's another bad division where the Reds, I think, will regress. They need a lot more pitching than they'll probably get in, a couple trades at the deadline. And the Brewers' offense is pretty terrible. That's just a bad offense. And they've already made one pickup to try and improve it, but they need like two more bats. So I think it's a gettable division. I think that's the right move for the Cubs.
Yeah, I think so. On the Stroman thing, I've been obsessed with a certain kind of possible trade, and is there a name of it, like a two-way trade, where you're not selling, you're not buying? I'm thinking Jerry DePoto from a couple years ago when Kendall Graveman got traded and everybody freaked out, but he brought in some other pieces, and they still made the playoffs. I'm thinking when the Red Sox traded Nomar Garciaparra, who was going to be a free agent, to the Cubs, and the Red Sox fans freaked out, but they brought in Orlando Cabrera and Doug Mankiewicz, played great defense and won a World Series. Is there a way that they sell on Stroman and get something, because he's tricky? There's no comp pick, and I don't think they want him to pick up the option necessarily if he's bad the rest of the way. It's sell on Stroman, but also kind of get something that helps them on the year. Is there a name for that trade, and is that a possibility?
Yes. There is a name for that. It's the most popular phrase from GMs that you'll ever hear. Threading the needle. A similar one in basketball is the two timeline approach, the win now plus win later. I think it's possible, and I think every GM kind of wants to do some version of that. But particularly with Stroman, I think one piece of instruction that we have on this is Carlos Rodon last year at the deadline had an option, there was no agreement. The Giants look like obvious sellers, and they couldn't find an agreement on value. And I think that's just because you're like, if he gets hurt, then he picks up the option, and then I have a hurt pitcher for this all this money.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to back myself into a corner. So, maybe there's some conversations to be had where it's like, can we force him to pick it up? So we GMs also want cost certainty. And Marcus Stroman represents cost uncertainty.
Mm. So that's not that appetizing out there. Of the pitchers who are still out there, you think the cleanliness of a straight rental like Jordan Montgomery or Jack Flaherty or those kind of things are more appetizing than Stroman at this point?
I do think so. I mean, even the Rangers, getting Max Scherzer. Part of the trade negotiation is what are you going to do with that option, dude? And he exercised it, and I think that changed the amount of money that the Mets were sending to the Rangers.
Wow. So, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic. So, it's interesting. You wrote about J.P. France and Clark Schmidt and some of these young starters and their pitch development process. I was reeling, though, with J.P. France and, like, Chaz McCormick. These are more cheap players that seem to be saving the Astros. Like, they're just really good at that, aren't they? Of just, like, finding
players. Oh, my God. They're so good at it. It's so annoying because, Chaz McCormick is this right-hander who has the most closed stance in baseball. Just his front foot is just, it's so bizarre looking. And he hits lasers to the opposite field. Last year, in opposite field home runs, it was Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and then Chaz McCormick. And so what do they do, even at the major league level? They take this guy and they make him more upright. They change his stance a little bit, and now he's pulling homers too, and he looks like a complete player, like a total, like, above average center fielder that they got with like a 30 round pick or something. You know, it's like they always do this. Their entire starting rotation was cost like 70,000 in bonus money when they had Javier and Pramber and Urquidy and all these guys, and they did it by going down to Latin America and saying, where are all the 20-year-olds? Where are all the 19-year-olds, the old guys?
Yeah.
You know, and giving them $5,000 and coaching them up. But they're really good at not only – there's two things that are really important for player development. One is have an idea. So, like, research and know, like, this is what we want. We take these types of fastballs and do this with it, and we do this with this type of player. But also listen to the player. And so, you know, that's the key part, is that you're not going to do the same thing with J.B. France that you do with Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown came with velo, and you're trying to shape pitches around that. J.B. France had to tear it all down. He doesn't look anything like the pitcher that he was in college. And it's kudos to them for seeing some raw material there and then helping the player shape it.
So you dream of being an organization like that, that's super smart. And the Cubs had a moment where it was like, oh, I think they are. And then it kind of fell back a little bit. And now with Craig Breslow and Justin Stone, you know, there's a lot more creativity going on, I think, than there was a few years back when things had gotten a little bit stale. They just used an opener for the first time last week, you know. First time ever.
You know, I think there's some, some innovation coming out of Chicago. Even the cut ride fastball that Justin Steele throws, the first time I sort of became aware of that as like a positive in fastball shape was through the Chicago organization. So, wow. I think they're definitely improving. I think their pitching development has taken a real step forward. And I still have hope for Matt Mervis and stuff. I just don't know. We're still kind of waiting for, you know, the last post Ian Happ, Nico Horner. I think they're good at developing everything. They're so far so good, really.
Yeah. It's interesting. So they used an opener for Drew Smyly. And that's happened before. I happened to do the research, like in Atlanta, they did it with Jesse Chavez opening for Drew Smyly. So they did Michael Fulmer for Drew Smyly last time. Then they did last night, they did Hayden Wesneski for Drew Smyly, or two nights ago. So, and Wesneski...
Hayden, it wasn't a true opener situation. Didn't Hayden go two or something?
He went two, but guess what? Fulmer went two also, the first time they did it.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, but they're different people, as you're hinting at. And that's what I'm wondering. Like, if they don't add a starting pitcher, and they do some other adds on the fringes, the Wesneski-Smyly double up, and it doesn't have to be a true opener, like three or four innings from Hayden.
It's
and then
like a piggyback.
Yeah, a piggyback. Is anybody doing the piggyback these days?
The closest I can think of is the San Francisco Giants. They have Jake Junis and Sean Manaea, lefty-righty guys that go three innings now.
Aha.
They deploy them behind and around Alex Wood, who's now become kind of a four-inning lefty. I think the Rays, it's the Rays tree of innovation where they said, you know, pitchers aren't, you know, naturally six inning guys or one inning guys. There's got to be stuff in between. And they figured out there are two, three, four inning guys. And I think the Giants are really pushing the envelope on that. But it's good to see the Cubs do it. It's a little annoying as a fan, though, because I think one of the things you ask when you go to the park is, who's pitching tonight? And if my answer is, well, I think it's Alex Wood and then maybe a little bit of Ross Stripling. And
I know it is, but sometimes that's the way the sport evolves, you know? And as long as it's not, you're not doing all the way across, it's so weird. But yeah, no, I'd love to see, because that would make sense. Cause like they were trying to do that with Keegan Thompson and with Adbert Alzolay for a while, like these multiple inning relief pieces. You know, but boy, but sometimes the traditional roles, man, like Adbert has found himself as a closer. Eno.
Oh, he is such a good closer. We should have maybe seen that coming, but you know, he's definitely good there.
He loves it. He thrives. Yeah. He's got swagger. He's got vibes. And, like, why do you say he's a good closer? Has the stuff jumped in that role for him? I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, I think one of the issues with him as a starter was just pushing the arsenal full enough. You know, he was always a guy that Stuff Plus liked. But, you know, Stuff Plus sometimes has problems with, like, you know, Graham Ashcraft in Cincinnati, where, you know, his two pitches are awesome, but they're one's better against lefties and one better against righties. So he's almost a one pitch pitcher against lefties and righties, you know? And so that's why his high stuff hasn't really turned into starting. Graham Ashcraft could be an amazing closer, you know? So, you know, I think that was the same sort of situation that Alzolay was like. I think it was maybe the command on some of the secondary pitches, or just making a full enough arsenal to turn everything over. He could have been a good three inning guy too. I mean, that he was doing fine in that, but maybe his personality also ties in well to the closer role and getting that jump of adrenaline and jumping out there with, like, a, you know, a walkout song and everything.
That's fascinating. That Stuff Plus might end up being a tool that helps you find, like, the closers on the fringes. Because you're finding
100%,
right?
It's actually more powerful for relievers, because relievers are tied to their stuff in a very obvious manner. Like, when relievers lose velo, they lose strikeout rate. When starters lose velo, they don't always lose strikeout rate. That's in the numbers, because starters are like, oh, I'm going to start using my fastball less. I'm going to feature my cutter. I'm going to do some this. I'm going to add a sink. Starters are, you know, they have a whole kitchen sink of things to do, you know, to deal with velocity decline. Relievers are often, I have two pitches and one of them now goes a tick slower. I'm not going to be as good as I was.
Hmm.
So Stuff Plus is very powerful, you know, numerically with relievers. And with starters, it's a little bit more of a feel process. That was what that piece was about too. It was like Clark Schmidt saying, I used to come out and almost want to maximize my Stuff Plus and just throw the pitches that Stuff Plus said was good. But then I realized, you know, maybe sometimes I have to throw a sinker or a sweeper to lefties. The numbers say don't do that, but maybe I have to do that because otherwise I'm a two-pitch pitcher to lefties. And then I become predictable, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's such good stuff. All right, you've been generous with your time. Thank you. I won't ask you to go through the lefty relievers that the Cubs should target. I don't know enough about Chasen Shreve these days and Brooks Raley. I know Aaron.
Throw them all on Fangraphs and then put the stuff, there's Stuff Plus on Fangraphs, and you can do a little sort. I would assume, just without thinking about it too hard, that Brooks Raley is at the top.
Okay. All right. Well, good. And he's a former Cub. We'll get him. We'll get Rich Hill. We'll get Jamer Candelario. And we'll get Daniel Vogelbach. We'll put the band back together and make a run, baby. Let's go. Thanks.
Actually, that wouldn't be a bad player to get.
Right? Why not?
That would be pretty hilarious.
There you go. Well, let's see. If it happens, I'll call you back. Thank you, Eno.
All right. Thanks.
All right, man. Appreciate you. That's Eno Saris from The Athletic. Credit to the texture, threw those four out there, and then we throw it at Eno. That's how we do it around these parts.
I love that he gets annoyed with some of the bulk reliever stuff.
The other thing, because he knows as a fan, it kind of sucks. Like, who's starting? Well, it's Jake Junis and Alex Wood are going to piggyback.
I was trying to explain why Hayden Wesneski only won two innings to my girlfriend a couple nights ago. She's like, was he bad? I was like, well, no, he did what he's supposed to do. She's like, well, why is he's not going to go get? No.
But he should go longer than a normal opener. They should do a piggyback if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And that way, I mean, you can get Smiley to the seventh or the eighth. I mean, I know he got into the seventh because he pitched well. They took him out at 57 pitches, I think it was, for Smiley. So it's like, and as a starting pitcher, as a manager, you have to deal with the ego of a starting pitcher. And you have to deal with a clubhouse saying, what are we doing? Who does this? Whose idea is this? Are we panicking? What's going on here? Like, that's a real thing.
Right.
And then, like, that's the personal level that a manager has to deal with, no matter where the idea comes from. 670 The Score is where you are. Matt Spiegel is who you are with. This is Hit and Run. Chris Kampka will join us in about 20 minutes or so. The Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. James Fegan will talk a little White Sox with us in the noon hour. And we'll reset the table as the Cubs go for their ninth straight win in St. Louis. The reeling, stinking Cardinals are in trouble. and the Cubs are trying to finish them off here before the deadline. That game pregame starts at about 12:45. We're here until then. When we come back, though, an impressive level of idiocy about how trades can and cannot work around Major League Baseball. You'll hear it on Hit and Run on the Score.
We're back with more.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670, The Score.
No crying.
Full count pitch. Got him swinging. 8 for Ohtani this afternoon. This would be the first complete game shutout, and there it is. Shohei Ohtani goes all 9. Some clapping for Shohei, who goes to the opposite field. Get going. Yeah! His major league leading 37th. Oh, he got another one. Get going. Ohtani has done it again. Santa Maria. Complete game shutout. Check. 2 homers in the nightcap. Check.
Matt Vasgersian sounding good on those calls. Sounding real good. Like him better when he's doing the local and enthused like that. That was fun stuff to hear. At Shohei Ohtani with a complete game shutout and the 2 homers on the same freaking day. Just absolutely unbelievable. And as we know, Shohei Ohtani is not going to be traded. The Angels are going all in. We'll see if they do some more between now and the deadline, having decided that they must go for it. There is a really bad thought that has picked up momentum somehow. It is an incorrect and horrific thought, because just to reset it, in the NBA and the NFL, you can trade draft picks. You can trade first round draft picks. You can trade multiple ones. There are restrictions. NFL, I think 3 is the most you can do it, except for on draft day when you can trade 4, I believe is the case. Noted football man Danny Parkins taught me that. In the NBA, there's similar restrictions, which I don't know because we don't have a noted NBA man. Apologies to Dr. NBA and to the hoops junkie Shane Reardon. But here's the thing. You can't trade draft picks in baseball. You just can't do it. Well, Alex Rodriguez was not clear on that as a concept.
For 2 months. I just don't think we've seen the player of this magnitude that's going to impact at the level he's going. I just don't even know what the trade value is. And I don't think anybody does. Go ahead.
I think here's the thought that I would think about if I was the Angels. I would want to get a bunch of draft picks. I want to load up my farm system. Let's just say Seattle would have to sign them before the trade. So they would
now you're talking. Right? Okay.
And yeah. Then if I'm the Angel, I'm saying, okay, you're going to take Ohtani, but I also want to give you some of my bad contracts.
Rendon.
Right. So if I can unload a few or one big one, and take that off the books. Plus, refurnish my minor league system, get some draft picks, and get maybe a piece or two. Now you got something.
Oh, now you got something. Except that's not allowed by the laws of the universe and MLB. I'm so glad we played the long version there, Sean, where he circles back to it, just throws in the draft picks again like it's a thing. Like, oh, you use that to bulk it up. No, you can't do that. That's Alex Rodriguez on Brett Boone's podcast. Colin Cowherd has a television show and a partner, Jason McIntyre. That guy's a... yeah. So anyway, Cowherd and McIntyre were talking about what they would trade for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Do you know how much you could get for Ohtani? I'm guessing. I'm a casual. 5 first-round picks, your best prospect, your third-best prospect, and 2 solid starters.
Well, given how poorly the Angels have done in the draft recently, yeah. I would rather just take best prospects. Like, give me your best 3 guys in the farm system, Yankees. Give them to me now. Ohtani's yours.
You're not going to take any draft picks?
I guess I would take a couple picks, but I want immediate prospects that are going to help me now.
All right, 3 best prospects, 3 number one picks. Would you move him?
I would, certainly, yeah. I mean, but I'm like you. I want to win. It's in my...
Well, you can't trade... It says here you can't trade draft picks.
Oh, my God.
I'm a baseball casual, so you can't trade draft picks. So you'd get the Yankees' 3 best prospects. I'm not doing it for that. I'm going to get 3 prospects, and you get the best player in baseball history?
It's rude if...
Oh, my God. Well, at least Colin admits he's a baseball casual, and he did say it up top, too. Those shows don't talk baseball. They do not. Those national shows do not. So it's easy to sound stupid when you don't know the rules. And, but the fact that, like, both of them, neither one of them know, I'm not surprised that McIntyre doesn't know. There's a lot that man does not know.
5 draft picks. 5 draft picks.
Five picks. It's 7. Make it 7. 6, 7. Our own Bruce Levine yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse was talking about Shohei Ohtani, because as the Cubs here are figuring out what they're going to do this year, the offseason and Ohtani's courtship looms.
The Chicago Cubs will be among the players for Shohei Ohtani when he turns free agent in November. I don't think it's any shocking news. I don't think it's any breaking news. I just think it's appropriate news that a big market team like the Chicago Cubs are going to be interested in the Shohei Ohtani market going forward, according to industry sources, this fall. So again, this isn't anything earth-shattering other than the fact that I do have knowledge that Cubs want to continue to be the Chicago Cubs. They want to be world champions in the future, and Ohtani's tires will be kicked by the organization.
Good. Absolutely should. You never know. I'd be shocked if it's anything other than the Angels or the Dodgers. I think it's going to be the Dodgers, but it could be the Angels. Wayne Randazzo is very close to it, told us on Friday on Parkins and Spiegel that he thinks the Angels have a better shot than other people do, especially if they make a little push here and do some winning, because Shohei values comfort and happiness. But if he really wants winning to go along with comfort and happiness, all he has to do is go to the Dodgers. Why would you go to New York and disrupt your life and enter a crazy, you know, fray? Why would you go to Seattle and bet on another organization you don't know anything about? You could go to the Cubs, where your good friend Seiya Suzuki tells you it's a good time. It's a good place. It's good fun. So, I mean, you can dream. Tell you the truth, like, I feel like the Cubs would have an easier job selling Shohei on the specialness and the winning and the health of the organization than just about any other team. The Yankees and all the drama, who would want that? Who would want the New York drama?
And he's already dealt with that in Japan. Like, he was literally a superstar. Like, you know, like, Shohei Ohtani in Japan is like, you know, who's on billboards here? You know, like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's the kind of comp you have.
So I think he's L.A. either way. But the Cubs should kick the tires. All right, big news. It is now public. Jesse Rogers has reported, and here's the story. The Cubs have told opposing teams that outfielder and free agent-to-be Cody Bellinger will not be traded, according to sources familiar with the situation. Folks, I led the show at the very top declaring the Cubs are buyers. And I think they will be buyers for like a lefty relief, a lefty reliever they very much need. Maybe a righty reliever too. We'll see. Possible power bat to play third base and or first base or do some DHing. And we'll see if there's anything else. Starting pitcher is conceivable, although the double up, the half opener, half piggyback of Wesneski and Drew Smyly could be thought of as your number five starter option. We'll see. Maybe they will go out and get a starting pitcher. And Drew Smyly will be sent on his way. That's entirely possible as well. But we'll see. And then we'll, what they do with Marcus Stroman, notably not in this story. I'm sure the same source is familiar with the situation where we're asked about Stroman. But the story from Jesse Rogers is this, that Bellinger will not be traded. Awesome. He shouldn't be. Couple things here. One, the Cubs have forced the hand and played really, really good baseball at a time when they absolutely had to. Maybe it was the last possible minute, but they've done it. And now their front office will go for it, perhaps even forced by the players to do so. We had a caller earlier in the show, Daniel from Ukrainian Village, saying that he thought the Cubs should sell on Bellinger, reload on prospects. They're not good enough and all that. I understand, but the team has rendered that impossible.
He don't give an F about nothing.
So that's one thing. The second thing is that, to me, and I've said this before, Cody Bellinger has proven to be a guy that you should try and re-sign. So enjoy these couple of months. Let him play his ass off. Hopefully you make a push and win the division. And then talk to him and try to keep him. That is a gold glove caliber center fielder or first baseman who is a run producer from the left side that you desperately need. And he's one of those hitters who's capable of using the A-hack to drive a ball at the right time and using a B-hack to go the other way at the right time. And is also selfless enough to not care what it does to his numbers. He does the right things. He's got bat control. He's what you tried to turn everybody into. And he just is that when he's going. And you figured out his happy place. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he signs an extension. And if not, you get the comp pick and you still made the right choice. So there's your news. And we will certainly talk about it along the way. We're here for another hour. And in the next hour, James Fegan will talk White Sox with us. And we'll also reset the scene for the resurgent Cubs who are not trading Cody Bellinger. Lots to come here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. When we come back, Chris Kampka has a nugget for both sides of town. And we'll talk some leadoff hitters as well with the Sultan of Stat himself on Hit and Run on The Score. Every week on Hit and Run, we get Cam connected with Chris Kampka, who loves baseball. He knows baseball, likes to research baseball. And we've got a doozy to throw at him that he has no idea is coming. But we also love whatever he chooses to bring. He has carte blanche, the Sultan of Stat, to bring us something on each side of town. All guests appear on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris Kampka, good morning, soon to be good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I am well, and it is a nice Sunday afternoon, ready for some baseball.
Yeah, let's do it. It's interesting. I thought the White Sox played real good defense yesterday for a while, and it was like, well, where's this been? Where's this been?
It's just really weird. I mean, so through entering Friday, they threw 924 innings as a team, and 355 and two-thirds of that was traded. So that's 38.5% of your pitching staff was traded, and then you go ahead and outscore your team 10-2 over the next two combined games. Baseball makes no sense.
It really doesn't. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, and on the small scale, it makes no sense. You have to extrapolate it. But every day they play on the small scale, and so it makes you nuts.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would have been wonderful to see this kind of play earlier in the season, but sometimes you just get what you get.
Yeah, sometimes you get what you get is right. So tell me about the White Sox first, since we started there. I know you have a Cubs thing, and I got a couple other things to throw at you, but tell me about the White Sox at home, if you would, because I was watching them and found it a very fun game to watch yesterday, actually.
I think looking at the big picture going forward in the next season, I think one thing we really need to focus on is figuring out who's able to hit at this ballpark in guaranteed rate field, because we got a big problem. Over the last two seasons, there has been 19 instances where a team has scored 10 or more runs. 19 instances. 17 were the opponents. We've only scored 10 or more runs in this ballpark twice over the last 2 years. We got to figure out how we can score more runs here and what kind of bats are better suited to hit here. That's got to be the biggest focus going into next season. Aside from getting the pitching back that you traded.
Yeah. I mean, but what makes it tough is that a lot of the position players are going to be here, it looks like. You know, a lot of the guys that are here are going to be here unless something happens in the next 2 days. That surprises me.
I mean, they've hit 57 home runs at home this year.
Wow.
If you take out Berger, Robert, and Vaughn, only 15 by everybody else.
Oh, boy.
At home this year. So we got to find guys who can get the ball over the fence.
Yeah.
They've been out-homered at home 75-57 this year.
Wow.
Last year it was 98-77. So over the course of the last 2 years combined, they've been out-homered by 39.
Oh, my goodness. That's brutal. Something has broken in the offense. Or maybe it was broken from the get-go. Well, but it's certainly been broken the last 2 years. All right, flip sides for me. Dansby Swanson is a defensive marvel and one of my favorite shortstops I've gotten a chance to watch with consistency defensively. What do you see about him overall?
Well, I'm going to talk about some of his offense, and there is no better way to endear yourself to a new team than what Dansby Swanson has done. Now, the Cubs have won 8 in a row. I'm going to talk about the streak that was snapped. Dansby Swanson, entering yesterday's game, had 10 straight games in a row with an RBI against the Cardinals. 9 of those games with the Cubs. The last Cub to have an RBI in 9 straight games or more against the Cardinals, you have to go all the way back to a guy who's better known as a Cardinal. Rogers Hornsby in 1929 had an RBI in 13 straight games against the Cardinals in a Cub uniform. That's how far back you have to go. It's pretty amazing.
That is phenomenal. And when you think about it, offensively, Dansby starts out on fire at the beginning of the year, and that makes a great impression that holds for a while. And then, yeah, an RBI in every game against the Cardinals is a pretty valuable thing to show the fans. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no Cub has had an RBI in 9 straight games against any single opponent since Sammy Sosa did so against the Brewers in 99-2000.
Wow. Sosa owning the Brewers and Dansby appearing to own the Cardinals. That's excellent stuff. All right, I told you I wanted to throw this at you. Is Ronald Acuña Jr. going to end up having the best leadoff season of all time? Ricky Henderson in 1990 had 28 homers and 87 stolen bases. He had a weighted on base of 435. Right now, Acuña's weighted on base is 422. The WRC Plus, we looked at this too, the best leadoff season WRC Plus ever is Mike Trout in 2012 at 167. Acuña Jr.'s WRC Plus right now is 166. So he's awfully close to ending up there.
He's up there. You know, as crazy as I'd love to bring up the gold, my opinion, what might be the gold standard in seasons as leadoff hitter. And it's an unconventional one at that. It's the old Brady Anderson, 1996.
Wow.
Yeah, now he only played 102 games leadoff, which is how many games Acuña has so far this year leadoff. But anyway, 50 homers, 110 RBIs, and 21 stolen bases overall. Now he played some of those games in the two spot and so on. But, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
50 homers and, you know, 21 steals is fine, but I think a home run is worth, what,
4 stolen bases at least. In my opinion, I mean, give me all those homers. I mean, last time we talked about the importance of getting ahead in the first inning, scoring first. And the Braves are doing just that, by the way. The Braves are just staggering in the first inning.
Yeah.
They have a run differential first inning of plus 71.
Oh.
The next highest is 35.
Oh, my God. First inning run differential plus 71. Next highest is 35. That's what happens when you've got Ronald Acuna and everybody else that they have. Oh, my goodness.
Just working.
Psychologically, what that does to a team. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to quantify a home run versus stolen base, but 4 seems like a sensible number to choose, you know?
It's perfect. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, there is an answer. You know, there's linear weights and there's run values per event. And there is an answer to that question.
Yeah.
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I would guess it's somewhere around 4.
It makes all the sense in the world. All right. Then last thing. We've been dreaming of a Cubs-Cardinals trade here. Okay? So here's my first thought. Jordan Hicks, the closer, for Jordan Wicks, the Cubs prospect. So you've got Jordan Wicks for Jordan Hicks. Then I thought maybe they could throw in Jordan Montgomery, the 5th starter, to be a starting pitcher, and the Cubs would perhaps throw in Jordan Nwogu, the prospect outfielder. But that might mean that they need somebody else. So how about Jordan Walker, the Cardinals right fielder, which I know is asking a lot. So then we'd have to go find another Jordan. You said there's another one, right? Jordan Levi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Michael Jordan, who hit his first minor league home run on this day in 1994. So there's that.
So I got 5 Jordans right now in a trade, and of course 2 makes a pair of Jordans. So I don't know. Can you help me with this at all? Have there ever been 3 Jordans in a trade? Or even just right?
I can't imagine.
How about 2? Has a Jordan ever been traded for a Jordan? Or
I bet you that's happened probably as part of a package deal. I'll get back to you on that.
All right, thank you. Or Jordan Wicks for Jordan Hicks. Has one letter ever separated people who have been traded for each other? There's that one too. You know,
I can't imagine that has ever happened.
Yeah, I can't imagine it either. All right, last thing for you. I found out today from Peter Gammons on Twitter that Scott Fletcher was the favorite player for George W. Bush. He loved Scott Fletcher. Did you know that?
And he named his dog Spot Fletcher.
That's what I found out, but you already know it.
And I confirmed it too, because you know how I asked Scott Fletcher's son-in-law whether or not this is true, Jordan Beckham, and he told me yes. It is indeed true, and I was really excited because that's such a cool nugget.
I forgot that Beckham was Scott Fletcher's son-in-law. That's excellent. Yes, Spot Fetcher was the dog. God, that tickles me to no end. See?
It's amazing.
I try to throw something at Chris Kamka, but he's already got it. How can you catch something you already have? Kamka, you're the best. Have a great day.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, man.
All right, you too, Speak.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. That's Chris Kamka. Oh, man, Spot Fetcher. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. You see why that dude is just—he's my favorite.
Just knew off the top of his head that Jordan hit his first home run
on this date in 1994. Well, because I'm sure he's prepping it for the broadcast. But how about the home run being worth 4 stolen bases is so adorably probably correct. But it's like, yeah, well, yeah,
checks out. Yeah,
amazing. Big Cubs news that we will reset for you. And James Fegan of the Sun-Times will talk White Sox as well. Bonus hit and run till 12:40 here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Every week on Hit and Run, we get Cam connected with Chris Kamka, who loves baseball. He knows baseball, likes to research baseball. And we've got a doozy to throw at him that he has no idea is coming. But we also love whatever he chooses to bring. He has carte blanche, the Sultan of Stat, to bring us something on each side of town. All guests appear on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris Kamka, good morning. Soon to be good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I am well, and it is a nice Sunday afternoon, ready for some baseball.
Yeah, let's do it. It's interesting. I thought the White Sox played real good defense yesterday for a while, and it was like, well, where's this been? Where's this been?
It's just really weird. I mean, so through entering Friday, they threw 924 innings as a team, and 355 and two-thirds of that was traded. So that's 38.5% of your pitching staff was traded, and then you go ahead and outscore your team 10-2 over the next two combined games. Baseball makes no sense.
It really doesn't. That's amazing. That's amazing. Hey, yeah, and on the small scale, it makes no sense. You have to extrapolate it. But every day they play on the small scale, and so it makes you nuts.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, it would have been wonderful to see this kind of play earlier in the season, but sometimes you just get what you get.
Yeah, sometimes you get what you get is right. So tell me about the White Sox first, since we started there. I know you have a Cubs thing, and I got a couple other things to throw at you, but tell me about the White Sox at home, if you would, because I was watching them and found it a very fun game to watch yesterday, actually.
I think looking at the big picture going forward in the next season, I think what one thing we really need to focus on is figuring out who's able to hit at this ballpark in guaranteed rate field, because we got a big problem. Over the last two seasons, there has been 19 instances where a team has scored 10 or more runs. 19 instances. 17 were the opponents. We've only scored 10 or more runs in this ballpark twice over the last 2 years. We've got to figure out how we can score more runs here and what kind of bats are better suited to hit here. That's got to be the biggest focus going into next season, aside from getting the pitching back that you traded.
Yeah. But what makes it tough is that a lot of the position players are going to be here, it looks like. You know, a lot of the guys that are here are going to be here unless something happens in the next 2 days. That surprises me.
Yeah. I mean, they've hit 57 home runs at home this year.
Wow.
If you take out Berger, Robert, and Vaughn, only 15 by everybody else.
Oh, boy.
At home this year. So we got to find guys who can get the ball over the fence.
Yeah.
They've been out homered at home 75-57 this year.
Wow.
Last year it was 98-77. So over the course of the last 2 years combined, they've been out homered by 39.
Oh, my goodness. That's brutal. Something has broken in the offense, or maybe it was broken from the get-go. Well, but it's certainly been broken the last 2 years. All right, flip sides for me. Dansby Swanson is a defensive marvel and one of my favorite shortstops I've gotten a chance to watch with consistency defensively. What do you see about him overall?
well, I'm going to talk about some of his offense. And there is no better way to endear yourself to a new team than what Dansby Swanson has done. Now, the Cubs have won 8 in a row. I'm going to talk about the streak that was snapped. Dansby Swanson, entering yesterday's game, had 10 straight games in a row with an RBI against the Cardinals. 9 of those games with the Cubs. The last Cub to have an RBI in 9 straight games or more against the Cardinals, you have to go all the way back to a guy who's better known as a Cardinal. Rogers Hornsby in 1929 wow. had an RBI in 13 straight games against the Cardinals in a Cub uniform. That's how far back you have to go. It's pretty amazing.
That is phenomenal. And when you think about it offensively, Dansby starts out on fire at the beginning of the year, and that makes a great impression that holds for a while. And then, yeah, an RBI in every game against the Cardinals is a pretty valuable thing to show the fans. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no Cub has had an RBI in 9 straight games against any single opponent since Sammy Sosa did so against the Brewers in 99-2000.
Wow. Sosa owning the Brewers and Dansby appearing to own the Cardinals. That's excellent stuff. All right, I told you I wanted to throw this at you. Is Ronald Acuña Jr. going to end up having the best leadoff season of all time? Ricky Henderson in 1990 had 28 homers and 87 stolen bases. He had a weighted on base of 435. Right now, Acuña's weighted on base is 422. The WRC Plus, we looked at this too. The best leadoff season WRC Plus ever is Mike Trout in 2012 at 167. Acuña Jr.'s WRC Plus right now is 166. So he's awfully close to ending up there.
He's up there. You know, as crazy as I'd love to bring up the gold, my opinion, well, it might be the gold standard in seasons as a leadoff hitter. And it's an unconventional one at that. It's the old Brady Anderson, 1996.
Wow.
Yeah, now he only played 102 games leadoff, which is how many games Acuña has so far this year leadoff. But anyway, 50 homers, 110 RBIs, and 21 stolen bases overall. Now he played some of those games in the two spot and so on. But, I mean, come on, man. Yeah. 50 homers and, you know, 21 steals is fine, but I think a home run is worth, what, 4 stolen bases at least? In my opinion. I mean, give me all those homers. I mean, last time we talked about the importance of getting ahead in the first inning, scoring first. And the Braves are doing just that, by the way. The Braves are just staggering in the first inning.
Yeah.
They have a run differential first inning of plus 71.
Oh.
The next highest is 35.
Oh, my God. First inning run differential plus 71. Next highest is 35. That's what happens when you've got Ronald Acuña and everybody else that they have. Oh, my goodness.
Just working.
Psychologically, what that does to a team. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to quantify a home run versus stolen base, but 4 seems like a sensible number to choose, you know?
It's perfect. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, there is an answer. You know, there's linear weights and there's run values per event. And there is an answer to that question.
Yeah.
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I would guess it's somewhere around 4.
It makes all the sense in the world. All right. Then last thing. We've been dreaming of a Cubs-Cardinals trade here, okay? So here's my first thought. Jordan Hicks, the closer, for Jordan Wicks, the Cubs prospect. So you've got Jordan Wicks for Jordan Hicks. Then I thought maybe they could throw in Jordan Montgomery, the fifth starter, as to be a starting pitcher, and the Cubs would perhaps throw in Jordan Nwogu, the prospect outfielder. But that might mean that they need somebody else. So how about Jordan Walker, the Cardinals right fielder, which I know is asking a lot. So then we'd have to go find another Jordan. You said there's another one, right? Jordan Levi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Michael Jordan, who hit his first minor league home run on this day in 1994. So there's that.
So I got 5 Jordans right now in a trade, and of course 2 makes a pair of Jordans. So I don't know. Can you help me with this at all? Have there ever been 3 Jordans in a trade? Or even just...
Oh, wow.
Right?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
How about two? Has a Jordan ever been traded for a Jordan? Or...
I bet you that's happened probably as part of a package deal. I'll get back to you on that.
All right, thank you. Or Jordan Wicks for Jordan Hicks. Has one letter ever separated people who have been traded for each other? There's that one, too. You know?
I can't imagine that's ever happened.
Yeah, I can't imagine it either. All right, last thing for you. I found out today from Peter Gammons on Twitter that Scott Fletcher was the favorite player for George W. Bush. He loved Scott Fletcher. Did you know that?
And he named his dog Spot Fletcher.
That's what I found out, but you already know it.
And I confirmed it too, because you know how I asked Scott Fletcher's son-in-law whether or not this is true, Gordon Beckham, and he told me yes, it is indeed true, and I was really excited because that's such a cool nugget.
I forgot that Beckham was Scott Fletcher's son-in-law. That's excellent. Yes, Spot Fletcher was the dog. God, that tickles me to no end. See,
it's amazing.
I try to throw something at Chris Kamka, but he's already got it. How can you catch something you already have? Kamka, you're the best. Have a great day.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, man.
All right, you too, Speak.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. That's Chris Kamka. Oh, man. Spot Fletcher. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. You see why that dude is just, he's my favorite.
Just knew off the top of his head that Jordan hit his first home run.
On this date in 1994. Well, because I'm sure he's prepping it for the broadcast. But how about the home run being worth four stolen bases is so adorably probably correct. But it's like, yeah, well, yeah.
Checks out, yep.
Amazing. Big Cubs news that we will reset for you. And James Fegan of the Sun-Times will talk White Sox as well. Bonus hit and run till 12:40 here on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.